Okay, we're up to mitzvah 28. We'll see if we can fit 29 in there, but I think I'm going to be 29 separately. 29 is a very short treatment in the chinuch, but we'll see how far we get. Okay, so mitzvah number 28 is called Shiloli Shtachavos Lavod Zara. We're not allowed to bow down to idolatry. Now, there happens to be a separate mitzvah in the Torah. It's mitzvah number 349. It's in Parshas Bahar. And it says that we may not bow down to an Evan Maskis, even to Hashem, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. An Evan Maskis would be a stone floor, which is why people on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you see, they tend to put down like a shmata or a doily or something. Which appears to be extraneous if it's a carpeted floor. But, alright, but then Ichnami, I know people have given out like fundraising, gifts. You ever see them? Like it says, Vanachim Korim, Mishtachavim Umodim, and it's a little, mat. Like a Muslim might use to daven mincha someplace, you know. So the reason why I'm mentioning this other mitzvah is because the Torah uses the same expression, do not bow down to an Evan Maskis, and it's used in the same expression, do not bow down to Avodah Zarah, like the Shtacha Belohem, right? So you would think that the Sefer HaChinuch would say that the thing that is forbidden to do in these two cases should be the same thing. No? And yet, that is not the case. So what I'd like to do is preempt all the Torah that we're going to say here about this. The chinuch here makes, this minchas chinuch makes quite tzimis about this. I would like to suggest that the word hishtachavaya is a big machlokus in the scholars of what the word means, or at least what the shorish of the word is. Right? Can you try to guess? What's the shorish? Most shorishim have three letters, right? So, lo tishtachave. What's the shorish here? Right? Lo tishtachu.
Shin ches, maybe vav or hey, but tish.
Okay. Shin ches hey is usually what many scholars say. The shin ches hey is means shacha, means to bend over. Right. So, however, there's another school of thought, and this might explain the difference between vayishtachu and vayishtachu. Sometimes the accent is on the mila'el, sometimes on mila'ra. And there are grammatical scholars that suggest that one of those has a different shorish, and that the shin is not shorashim. That the shin in the word lihishtachava is like the shin of shibud mitzrayim, the shin of l'shachnea. Sometimes a shin for Tiferes HaLashon that is installed into a Hebrew word, right? Hare anu mishubadim hayinu v'par v'mitzrayim. So that the shin is not part of this shoresh, and the shoresh is actually chet vav hei, which is related to the Aramaic word for snake, which would mean to coil, which would mean that that word is a more significant coiling or bowing than just bending over, or shafa means to bend over. So chava would mean to like mamish coil yourself down to the floor, right? Pishut yadayim braglay, right? So you can think of maybe a few terminologies in the Torah. Some could be even in Bereishis, where the Torah refers to a hishtachavaya, and then it uses the word arza. Right? Hishtachavaya arza. Like Yaakov tells Yosef when he tells the dream, habo navo, am I going to come with you and your mother and to bow down to you, arza? Okay, so that makes the Gemara and Megillah talk about different words for bowing. For instance, vayikod. Vayikod ha'om vayishtachavu. Why use two different words for bowing? Vayikod ha'om, that happens to be when the people heard that they would have children, right? When the pasuk says vayoki amru alechem b'nechem lemor ma havado zos lachem v'amartam zeve pesachu l'ashem asher pasach habatei b'nei Yisrael v'espetenu yitzil vayikod ha'om vayishtachavu. Right? Abasaris Habanim, Rashi says. So what, let's look at the etymology. So Vayikod comes from the word, think of it, Kadkod. This is your Kadkod up here, right?
Uh-huh. All right, yeah.
The forehead is a Kadkod. So Vayikod means to touch your forehead to the floor. And it would appear that Vayikod ha'am vayishtachavu, that vayishtachavu means to do more than that. So Howard said before, that's pishut yudayim reglaim. Is that what I read your lips? Is that right? Did I read you right? Okay, so the Gemara in Megillah says that vayishtachavu goes beyond vayikod. Means to spread yourself out. So here is where the Sefer HaChinuch seems to contradict himself. And I'll just say this on the outside here, and then we'll go read inside in the Chinuch, in the Minchas Chinuch. Is that here, the Sefer HaChinuch says that the definition of what you're not supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do is to not bow down. Let's read some of this inside. First, we'll do the Sefer HaChinuch. Shelo lishtachavos le'avodazara, v'avodazara hi kol she'avod zulasi ha'kel baruch hu. Anything but God, right? So ve'ech lelukim yocharam bilti l'ashem alakecha. Shnemar lo tishtachav Elohem v'lo sa'avdeim. Right? So to the Rambam, these are all separate mitzvahs. You know, full disclosure now is that to the Ramban, this is not a separate mitzvah. This is part of lo yelecho Elohim echirim apanai. Okay? So he says, and so also don't serve them. Ve'ein perish ha'kasuv lo tishtachave al menas la'avod. Shinomod mimenu shishtachave yelavad shelo l'chavanas avodah shelo yehe asur. Sherei b'makom acher nomar b'torah ki lo tishtachave el acher. I already know that, I'm going to know that bowing per se is something that by itself is asur, even if I'm not serving the God by doing so. Sh'asura hishtachave yebilvad mishum tzad. Right? Even if you're not serving it. So why does it say right afterwards lo savdeim? Lomar sheishtachavoya hi achas midarchei avoda. Okay, there are four darchei avoda that is usher to do to every avodah zara in the world. What are those four? Even it's the chiddush. Even if it's not the way of that avodah zara to be served this way. Okay. Meseches Avodah Zarah, but even more so, Meseches Sanhedrin in the seventh perek tells you the various ways that certain Avodah Zarahs are to be worshipped. It mentions two that are specifically in a derogatory fashion by throwing a stone at Marculus stones. So you think, oh, no, I don't want to serve it. I just want to throw a stone at it. Right? No good. And to defecate before Baal Peor, right? So the big chiddush there, that's for next week, is that if someone wanted to defecate before, let's say, Milcom, or before Baal Zvuv, as an expression of disgust, I don't know why you would want to do that, but okay, you're not chayev. But if you do that before Baal Peor, better be careful because you'll be chayav for that. Even if you mean to be disparaging. You know why? Because to be disparaging is gufa, the type of avodah zara they have. It's supposed to be as outrageous as you can. And even if the Jew is doing that in order to show how much I hate this avodah zara, how much I despise and how much I want to shame and make a shander out of this avodah zara, right? That's the worship. Okay, we'll see that next week on Lota of Dame. Don't serve them, even if you don't mean to be serving them. Yeah. Right. So what are the four avodos that are common to all avodah zara? So we know now bowing is one of them. What else? Can you think? Jeremy, I can't. You have to mute yourself.
We say "Vanachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim." Are those one of the?
Those are all part of Ishtachavaya. So the other four, and now it looks like from these, there are four altogether, but the Gemara seems to count five because two of them are the same. The other four are Zoveach, offer sacrifice, Maktir, you offer incense. So Zoveach and Maktir are considered the same thing. So what is machlokas, whether the tzmidim are connected, the korban tamid, or the ktoris. Right? It's the same thing, for the Goyim at least. And the other two are, I'm sorry?
Yayin, is Yayin one of them?
Nisuch, yes, exactly. Yes, nesech, pouring something in front of it. And zrika, sprinkling something. A lot of major religions do this when they serve an idolatrous form. They'll sprinkle something in front of it. Or they'll wave some incense in front of it. You see that's a common thing. Okay, so these are four things that are forbidden in every instance as a form of avodah zarah. Okay, let's read the minchas chinuch here. Shalol lishtachavos. Everyone see it? Nira kavonus harava machaber, which means to say the sefer chinuch. Kemo shekosavti le'el b'mitzvah chavav. Okay, fine. We said that before. That's the Rambam. That you violate this by bowing to something, even if you're not actually worshiping it. Bowing itself is prohibited. So much so that anybody remember, it's a very famous Gemara in Daf Yud Beis in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It says that a little later in the Masechta, where Chana, the woman named Chana, her son was told, just pick up some coins in front of the... And he refused to pick it up because it would look like he was bowing to it, right? So the Gemara says, don't tie your shoes in front of it. Don't drink water that comes out because it looks like you're kissing it, right? Now, that, I would tell you, if someone had to save his life, if someone was dying of thirst, and that was the only way to get water, by all means, drink that water, right? Kissing an avodah zarah is not one of the four things I just mentioned. Right? Kissing an avodah zarah is not an avodah, unless that particular avodah zarah has kissing as its main form of worship. There are some ancient avodah zarahs that were very unusual. Remember one that Yirmiyahu mentions called Kavonim, where the avodah zarah was to bake cakes. You eat the cake, then you're worshiping the goddess. Right?
It's fine.
Yeah. Who wouldn't like that? Eat a donut. Right? They knew how to get people. So that particular, each avodah zarah has its own worship, but some are chayav as avodah zarah, some are just a regular losase. Right? So if just because it says in the halacha, don't do this, don't drink from the fountain where you have to come right up to the and look like you're kissing it. That's why they do it, right? So obviously, all this is in Daf Yud Beis and Maseches Avodah Zarah. Okay? So the point we made last time is Af al pi she'eino oved o saklau, rak oseh b'derech tzchok o bizayon. He's not worshiping it. He's just, bowing is usually not considered derech tzchok o bizayon, but mikom akom kach hi gzeres hakosev, the osel asos l'avodah zarah devar zeh. It's forbidden to bow before any idolatrous form. In any of the other three services that I just mentioned, libations, zrika, sprinkling, and lighting on fire to be a korban or incense. Okay? And ishtachavaya is forbidden to all of avodah zarahs in the world. Okay, that's what he means when he says ukedome me'arba avodos. Dafka im hi avodah zarah, aval davar she'eino avodah zarah, im oseh advarim shelo l'shem kabbalas elohus, v'vaday eino chayav kimosh nispar le'el. If this thing is not considered to be the service of that particular god, an example I just gave was is the the kissing of this usually it was called an andarte. You shouldn't do it because of marasayin or the like. But if you're dying of thirst, by all means, drink it. Okay. All right. So now number two is where I'm asking this question I posed before. Is that here, what's the definition of bowing? If someone would bow his head, turn his head down, and do what we do at Aleinu. Jeremy, you mentioned what we say, Levanachnu Korim Umishtachavim Umodim. But why don't we do that anymore in Aleinu? We only seem to do it Rosh Hashanah. Why aren't we kneeling anymore? So there are different kind of answers that are given historically. One is that the Jews couldn't really afford carpeting, so the shuls had stone floors, and there was not really any good way to do v'anachnu korim mishtachavim u'modim, right? There's also a bit of scholarship that the Christians forced the Jews to sing Aleinu out loud with a particular church song. You know the famous, it's like a universal song, Aleinu l'shabayach l'adon ha'ko. That's a church song.
Oh.
Why did they want us to sing it out loud? To make sure that we weren't saying,
There's a very, very interesting find that Ashma found, where actually he found a sitter or a parchment from, I think, someplace in France, where they weren't just saying, they were adding words in there, l'rima, l'toleya, to the corpse on the wall, that were clear references to Jesus. I'll show you. Fascinating.
It didn't help that you had some French and German commentators that pointed out that the gematria of Varik, right? Varik, which is 316,
right,
is also Yud Shin Vav.
But I'm saying, they were adding stuff in, and probably like with all of them, you know, some Meshuggah got hold of it and used it.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there's all the evidence is there that it was originally the part of Aleinu. The oldest Sidurim, even the Rav Amram Siddur has it. Part of Aleinu. No doubt it's part of it. The question is, were the Jews saying it, thinking of Christianity? Probably. The Psukim, it's made up of two Psukim that appear in Sefer Yeshayahu, though. So Yeshayahu definitely was not thinking of Christianity when he blamed the people for bowing to these things that can't help them. But okay, be that as it may, so the Jews were it seems that, like, you know, based on how we say it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that we used to bow down with our feet. But Korim means to kneel, right? Korea is to kneel, put your knees to the floor. Mishtachavim is to put your head to the ground. And modim, usually when we say modim, we spread out. You know, I don't think people just get flat out on the ground, you know, like Rav or like Yehoshua. But that's we see people doing that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And also on Yom Kippur, more often when they say the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, and we mention that they said Hashem's name, and everyone bowed down when they heard Hashem's name. We do that three times. Okay, but here's where he brings out the other mitzvah, which is mitzvah Shin Mem Tes, and the Sefer HaChinuch seems to flagrantly contradict himself by giving a different definition of Yishtachavaya between the two mitzvahs. Okay, let's see. All right, so Ayin Rambam, we're up to number two. Right, where it says Tzura Sahishtachavaya. Perfect. Just what is this bowing that we're not allowed to do? Ayin Rambam Perek Vav Me'akum Halacha Ches. Echol Ishtachavaya B'Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim O B'Lo Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim Mishor Sheyichbosh Panov B'Karka Niskal Ad Kam Lashana. Where did he get this? This is not a Gemara. As soon as his face touches the ground, he's chayev. So what do we see from here, by the way, that if there's an idol standing in front of you, you just do this, like we do at Aleinu, you wouldn't be chayev. The chiyuv of this, of violating this avera, is that your face has to touch the ground. And not just touch the ground, kovesh means you have to press it against the ground. Okay? All right? That's, so the question is, where did the Rambam get that? All right? V'chein hu b'divrei harav ha-machaber, meaning that the Sefer HaChinuch mentions the same lashon, the common mitzvah shin mem tes. V'nei ha-Rambam machalek sham b'halach ha-vav d'le'inyin ha-lav shelo lishtach ha-vos b'gvulin Alevin Maskis, who dafka b'pishut yodayim v'raglayim loke, who below pishut yodayim v'raglayim, eino elo isud rabbanon. It's a big pella. Here, the Sefer HaChinuch says, in Mitzvah Shin Memtes, says that if you bow down on an Evan Maskis, right, remember what that is, everybody? A stone floor, right? You're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. If you bow down on a stone floor, he says that you are only chayav d'oraisa, you only have malchus, if you do pishut yodayim v'raglayim, your mamish get down flat on the stone floor, right? But in that same mitzvah, he writes, but in for regular avodah zara, you're already chayav if you just kovesh panav bakarka, niskal, you get skila for just kovesh panav bakarka. So the Minchas Chinuch wonders, Why differentiate? The Torah uses the same word for both of them. Lo tishtachaveh here, right? Lo tishtachaveh lohem lo sovdeim. And it says, ve'evin maskis, lo tishtachaveh aleha. Okay? V'nei din zeh tishtachaveh aleven maskis, mevor v'shas, megil edav chav beiz amed beiz, deboinan pishut yodayim v'raglayim. Fair enough. Debelo zeh lo havi tishtachaveh klal. Good. So the Maseches Megillah tells that to violate the Torah law of not bowing down on an Evan Maskis, that it has to be b'pishut yodayim v'raglayim, flat that down on the floor, ayin sham, tana rabbanon, kida, is your head touches the ground, code, you see the word? Yishtachabaya zu pishut yodayim v'raglayim, shneamar, habo navo anivim chal yishtachabos l'chal arza. Get it? Bow down to the floor. Ayin Rashi, okay, v'chein hu b'shvuos hatatz, tatzayin l'beis, Im kein tsarachiyun, kiven de chazal, lamdu de mila shishtachavaya hamura b'tora, he pishut yodayim v'raglayim, im kein manolei l'rambam dekan chayav b'cholinyan, afila below pishut yodayim v'raglayim. Why does he say that here, when it comes to regular avodah zarah, not devin maskis, but regular avodah zarah, you're already chayav even before you get to the stage of pishut yodayim v'raglayim? Def shar lo havya yishtachavaya klal, raku derech kavod, kechibuk v'nishuk. Maybe bowing down to the floor, but not doing pishut yodayim v'raglayim is no different than kissing, no different than sweeping the floor in front of avodah zarah, which wouldn't be chayav skila. It would be a lo saaseh, but it wouldn't be chayav skila. It would be like lo tifnu el ha'elilim, but it wouldn't be chayav skila. Skila needs an avoda, needs a service. So where did the Rambam get this? So what do you think?
Well, one is the activity is on the, you know, the floor. It doesn't matter what you're doing it to; it's on. The other thing is it's bowing to something, so they're not actually the same activity.
Yeah, if you want to show that I am taking you upon myself as something worthy of worship, that you can do good for me, and you could prevent bad things from happening to me. And therefore, I want to express and demonstrate some kind of an avoda to you to garner some of your strengths, some of your magic, some of your control of nature, right? So what difference does it make if I spread myself out on the ground or if I just touch my head to the ground? I'm showing myself that I'm submitting to you. All right, but then you might want to ask, why isn't just doing this the same? Right? Well, that could be a conventional thing. Could be. Maybe that's, you know, it depends on how people show, right? You know, if you go to Japan, I think everyone's bowing down pretty low. They're bowing down to their...
But that's like equivalent of shaking hands.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, everything is according to convention, maybe. All right. But I just want to review the question is that if the Torah uses the same word, yishtachava, here and there, why does the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch just dutifully copies him? Why does the Rambam use two different definitions of what constitutes hishtachavaya by Evan Maskis. There's less at stake at Evan Maskis, because even if you do it the proper way, it's only a losase, right? And if it's an improper way, then it's just makas mardus. It's also midrabanan. That's assuming that you're bowing on the Evan Maskis to God, the one who took us out of Egypt. If you're bowing to an Avodah Zarah on an Evan Maskis, of course, that's no different than any other Avodah Zarah. Right?
Wouldn't that be Eiser Chalal Eiser?
Yeah, Evan Maskis is the least of this guy's problems.
Right, that's at least his problems.
But the thing is that if to be chayav on Avodah Zarah in general, the Torah here in Mitzvah number 28 uses the Lashon Hishtachavaya. Why is the Rambam so sure that bowing on an Evan Maskis to God doesn't violate the Torah unless you have done Pishut Yudayim or Aglayim, but bowing on an Evan Maskis to Peor or any God, any Avodah Zarah in the world, since Hishtachavaya is one of the four universal Avodos, right? But bowing on an Evan Maskis to any other Avodah Zarah is already violating the Torah, Chayv Skila already, short of Pishut Yudayim or Aglayim. So I'll give you two pages. Okay, one is the Sfasemes, and one I think is the Or Sameach, but let's see. Okay. So remember that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, anything that is the derech of that Avodah Zarah is chayav. So we have to find out what's the derech of this Avodah Zarah. And when it comes to bowing, the derech of Avodah Zarah is not, I don't think you have such a strict definition. It's bowing. It could change with convention. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we're so used to bowing, and for us, bowing, did you think it meant Pishut Yudayim V'Raglayim? If you looked at a picture of someone, what is he doing now? Oh, he's bowing. He's bowing down to someone. Right? So when it comes to what constitutes bowing for Avodah Zarah, the threshold is going to be less. Now, I mean, let me give this, Sfasemis fine-tunes this. He says that when you're bowing to God and you want to show your submission to God, the one who created the world and took us out of Egypt, you've got to show a phenomenal, full-throated, just 100% unequivocal demonstration of submission. And that is nothing short of Pishut Yudayim V'Raglayim. So in order to violate the mitzvah of Evan Maskis to God, the Sefer HaChinuch writes Bistam that the definition of Lo Tishtachaveh on an Evan Maskis to God is Pishut Yudayim V'Raglayim. Anything short of that is only Asa Midrabanan. Right? But when it comes to showing your devotion to Avodah Zarah, the threshold for that the halacha will require for you to pass over that demonstration of what is now considered to be a submission to the power of this Avodah Zarah is going to be less. And this works very well with the way that the ancient pagans related to their idolatries. There's no ancient culture or civilization or religion that attributed to their God, not to Zeus, not to Jupiter, not to anything. But for obvious reasons, because when you have a multiplicity of gods, obviously your God is not the all-powerful. If you have just one God, you're going to obviously attribute to that God quite a bit more power than these other Avodah Zarahs that believe in 42 gods, right? But no nation has Yesh Me'ayin like we do. No nation has the attributes to their God, the total power of over nature. And that's why we do that, by giving God a lot of names.
Right? But also, every pagan god always had a genealogy, like he or she was descended from prior gods. We have no such either direction.
Right. So for us, the threshold of showing our devotion that in this particular case should not be done because it's on an Eved Maskus, is a full-throated Pishur Yadayim Ragleim. You get it?
Isn't that, in some sense, a bitul, a reverse of Yesh Me'ayim? Because we're saying we're reversing, we're Yesh, and by doing this full-throated, we're turning ourselves into Ayim.
Could be. I'm nothing before you. Yes, it seems that that's there's a Gemara in Brachas that says when you daven you should hold out your hands like this and say look at that. I have nothing in my hands, God. Without you, I have nothing. Right. All right. So then that's why the Kohanim and Blessa bring down Hashem's blessing by putting their hands out like this, as if though to put something in our hands which are out like this. So. Okay. All right. So that's the Sfasemis who says that the threshold for Avodah Zarah is going to be much less. Kovesh panav ba'aretz. Then that's enough. You pass the threshold now of devotion and submission, and that's enough to get Chayav Skila. Okay. All right. So that is that's number two. Okay. All right, the Rambam tries to, the Sefer HaChinuch tries to figure out where is the Talmudic source for this thing, this differentiation, and he finds one in the Seches Horios. Okay, if you look, you see where I between where I wrote number two and number three, right? Go down between the two of them about 70% down to the second line that gets thicker. Right, the lines start thicker, they go thinner for about 25 lines, and then they get thicker again under the text, and it says, Ach be'emes. Ach be'emes mevu'ar lehedya. Okay, so I see it explicitly in Horios Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Here is the psak. Horu based in the Shtachavaya Lavoda Zara Muteris. So Meseches Horios is a Mesechta all about the halachos that are put forth by erroneously by a Bezdin. Now I'm sure there has never been a Bezdin in planet Earth in the history of the Jewish people that has given a psak halacha that Avodah Zara is permitted, but all right, bear with me. Okay? So what is the case is that Horu based in Dishtachavoya Avodah Zarah Muteris. They made a psak halacha that bowing to Avodah Zarah is permitted. Einam chayavim korban. They don't have to bring a korban. Do mafurish b'torah about tzedukim modim bo. If a based in gives a psak that violates something that's so obvious in the Torah that even the tzedukim agree with it, right? Then it's nonsense. You shouldn't have listened. This is obviously a faulty Sanhedrin, a faulty Beis Din. Don't listen to it. These guys are charlatans. You should know not to listen to them. All right? So, Dehu mefurish b'torah b'tzeduk and modim bo, avolim horu lishtachavoya b'pishut yodayim v'raglayim chayav, ubelo pishut yodayim v'raglayim potur, al zeh chayavim korban. But if they give a psak that only bowing to Avodah Zarah with Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim is Chayav, but not Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim is Potter, for that they have to bring a Korban. And the Rambam brings that down in the Cheshigah goes, Im kein b'furash, t'chayavim al ishtachavaya, filu below Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim. That's so Pashut, that's the Rambam's proof. They have the Pele of the Minchas Chinuch, and he's so good at calling people out on this, is that why didn't the Kesef Mishnah mention this? What's the commentaries to the Rambam, but the Kesef Mishnah's first job, he's the first one to do this. The first job is, where did the Rambam get this from the Gemara? So that's not the Rambam's job. The Rambam generally does not tell you his source. It's the Kesef Mishnah's job, right? And he said he was slackened on this job. It took till I had to tell you where the Rambam's source is. Okay, just full disclosure on something. If a Sanhedrin says that there's no such thing as tefillin, they don't have to bring a korban for that. Because you shouldn't listen to that. Go look up the pasuk. Even the tzedukim admit that there's tefillin. But if you say that there are five batim in the tefillin, or three batim in the tefillin, or the tefillin around, or something like that, then that could be as that could be zakin mamre, or it could be based in toim, because you're saying something that's in the Torah, but you're changing something. You're not trying to wipe out something in the Torah. So to say that you're allowed to bow down to avodah zarah, no, that's not part of this mesechta. But to say that the definition of hishtachavayah is only pishut yodayim v'raglayim for avodah zarah, no, sorry, you're making a mistake. That's the definition of avodah zarah for even maskis. The definition for bowing down for stam avodah zarah is just touching your head to the ground. Okay, the Rambam has been explained. Okay, but the Sefer Achinuch, I think, should have, if he made this differentiation in mitzvah shin mem tes, he should have made this differentiation here, says the Minchas Chinuch. In Siman Shin Mem Tes, he tells you the difference between the benchmark for bowing for Evan Maskis and the benchmark for bowing to regular Avodah Zarah. You should say so here. Here is the mitzvah. Don't bow to Avodah Zarah. Okay, enough on that. Okay, number three is just why some psukim in Tanakh say hishtachava arza, to bow down to the ground, and some just say hishtachava. So I gave you the chiddush before. I'm not going to elaborate. It could be that the word means two different things and two different shorashim. One where the shorash is to coil like a snake, where the shin is not part of the shorash. It's the shin hashimushi, like shibud or shachneo or things like that. Or the shorash could be shacha, right? Which I think, Jeremy, you said before. So if it's shacha, it means just bend over, which is not such a significant bowing. Okay. All right, so three and four, where I wrote down, is the chinuch, just looking at, well, you must have had a concordance open in front of him, because he really is very good bekiyas on all the places where yishtachavaya mentions to the ground, right? Like Lot, who bows down for the three angels, the two angels who come, it says, Vayishtachu apayim arza. Okay. Right? But when the people bow, when they heard about the sons, it says, Vayikod ha'am vayishtachabu. Why didn't have to say arza? Because Vayikod implies arza. Okay. By the way, we just found recently an archaeological find of an Akkadian poem. Anybody read about this? It's about 10 years old. An Akkadian poem where it refers to a gauntlet that falls down on someone's forehead, slices his head. It says, the gauntlet falls down on his forehead, and it says, and it cut his katkod, and it fell bain enav. So it might be that based on this, if the Israelites were familiar with this type of poetic parallelism, that when they heard the words v'hayu l'totafos b'nei nechem, they understood the pshat of b'nei nechem to be here at your katkod, and not here, like the tzedukim wear. You with me? All right? You ever see a Karaite tefillin? Right? You ever go, there's a Karaite World Center in the Old City, and they let you take pictures, but if you go inside, they'll let you in, and they're wearing these little red balls, like this, with a little red ball right there, or a black, or a silver ball, right there. And their tefillin is on the hand here, it's like some strings around the hand, right? And it's not on their left hand, it's on their right hand. All right, so anyway, I'm just saying that from here we see Vayikod means something that the forehead that touches the ground. Okay, all right, so the question number, look at number five, where he cites the Rambam who says, Ayin Rambam Pekan Per Gimel Halacha Zayin, Umavuar Od Sham Halacha Ches, De Partzufos Hamikalchos Mayim Lo Yaniach Piv Al Pihem. If you have Has anyone ever seen this? I mean, you see fountains sometimes. I mean, I've seen them. I don't think they're for drinking. I've seen them like a little cherub, and it looks like he's urinating, right? It looks like it's coming out of, you know.
I've seen fish where it comes out of their mouth.
Or some comes out of their mouths. So if it's coming out of the mouth of a figure, and you know, I don't know if you, it's I don't know if it's so hygienically proper to drink from such a thing, but if to drink from that might look like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah.
Well, but by the time they were doing that, it was purely decoration. It wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
But they have it in Romania, Rabbi Schwartz.
You have it where?
In Romania, in the parks, they have fountains like that. The way you describe with statues and the water comes out of certain places.
Do people drink from them?
Yeah. It's actually spring water, so it's very healthy.
And where does the water fall? Where do you have to get into it? Can you go in barefoot? How do you?
No, they make them. So let's say you have a statue and one of them was, it had a finger. So it came out from the finger.
Uh-huh.
And the finger like led to water and it falls down and there's like rock. They build like this thing with rock and like, or stone. And then you could put a cup in there.
I see. Okay. Okay. So yeah, bottom. Right. I get that. But to go actually go in to drink from it means that you're standing in a place where the water is, water has to go someplace after it falls from there. Okay.
I'm going to look for a video.
And okay. See. Okay. Very good. So the Rambam says that it wouldn't be Avodah Zarah to drink from this, but it would be Lo Sase. V'dimnim elu him b'shas Avodah Zarah yudbeiz. I made reference to that earlier. Yudbeiz amid Aleph. V'sham avu aro d'mayan ha-mosheich mayim lifnei Avodah Zarah lo yashuch v'yishteh shenirek mishtachava. You see, kissing an Avodah Zarah is a Lo Sase. Bowing to an Avodah Zarah is one of the four no-nos. All right? Bowing to even Marculus or bowing to any Avodah Zarah is one of the four big no-nos. All right, so you don't want to make it look like you're bowing, even though it's obviously short of Kovesh upon of Ba'aretz.
There's three big ones. What's the fourth one? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim.
No. The four big ones means.
Oh, I'm saying the four big
services.
Ones.
Avodah Zarah, right. Like the four services you shouldn't do to any Avodah Zarah in the world, even if that's not the regular way to serve that thing.
Okay.
All right. So, the Rambam lo hebizeh. Okay, the Rambam did not bring this rule down about not bowing down to this thing. I ain't guess of Mishnah Hosayim. Shaloya Birgur Sasa Ginzeh. Whoa. He didn't have our Gemara. Now, that's the only way to explain why the Rambam didn't bring this halacha down. Vayin Sham Bishas. Nebuah Demayon. Afilu yamus im lo yishteh osur lishtos. The Gemara seems to say there, even if you're dying of thirst, don't drink on from that. Now, if the thing you have to do to get to the water is an expression of bowing, that's a service. That's lotar deim. Kissing is not considered a service unless you know that particular Avodah Zarah is a kissing Avodah Zarah. I don't know of any, but if that particular Avodah Zarah, that the way to worship this Avodah Zarah, like that, to eat the cakes for Kavanim, whatever it is, that particular Avodah Zarah is worshipped by kissing it, then that's a different story. All right? Okay. So, afilu yamus im lo yishteh asur lishtos. Turn the page, please. We said something else before. Right? V'chein, I put the number 5 again over there. V'chein das ha-tor yoredeis im kuknun. Avodas haran, Avodah Zarah dafkim lom beid, b'dafi arif. The imayis lav dafka mipnei pikuach nefesh mutter even the eno ela mipnei maris ayin. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah just said not to do it. It didn't say. It didn't say that. Well, you know, it said afterwards. Yes, even if you die, that's correct. But that's because the thing that you were doing to the Avodah Zarah there was considered Avodah Zarah. We know that there's the big three that Jeremy just referred to, but putting your lips to a fountain by the mouth of even something that's worshipped by people when they walk by is love. It could be that's the derech of that worship. If it is, then you're there. It's trouble. But if it's not, so the Ran says, drink it if you're so thirsty. Okay? Muvas dato barama. Simen Kuf Nun. Look, the Jews were in some such great sarvatsuka about being forced to do things that they sometimes were giving up their lives, that they, some poskim were looking for any ways out. Ayin Mishnas Chachamim, Mifalfa Bazed, the Afla Deazu, the Makom Sakama Gamkin Aser, Mikomakom Dafka Benira Kamishtachaba. Only if by drinking he's bowing down to this thing. But just because it looks like you're kissing it, actual kissing it isn't an actual avodah zarah. It's only aser lo saseh, and the lo saseh you don't have to die over. All right. Okay. In came the vaday mipnei maris ayin eino tzarech limsor nafsho. All right, if he has some bottled water and he just wants that because it tastes better and it's spring water, or he has a cup and he wants to fill it to get some lunch, to drink with lunch, or wash his hands, al netilas yadayim or something. So, all right, but that's okay for sure because you're not kissing it. You're not putting your mouth to it. Okay? All right, so he says, mitzvazu, look at number six, mitzvazu gam kein no heges l'chol b'nei olam, gam b'nei noach. He thinks that whatever we saw here until now was shayach to B'nai Noach also. All right, so we did this last week, right? We didn't miss any classes for Shavuos. Is the question of Shituf, of Goyim. Does a guy have to give up his life does a Gentile have to give up his life for these things? And the answer we said was no. It's because Elisha told Naaman that he could go back to Rimon and stand by his king and just go through the motions. Okay. All right, take a look at number seven, the Shem Bizayon. Okay, be duly warned by this halacha. Gam nirali imavad ba'achas mital davodos o kiderech avodavis v'sola bizui v'mar b'feirish deinu makablo b'eloha rak shehu mechavein lebizayon. After Chayav Misa b'chol inyan, k'moshe k'savnu le'al mitzvah chavav, mikom akom, nira de lo have mumr l'avod zara. De mumr lo have rak k'mekablo b'elohus. Wow. All right, so he's saying something interesting here. He's saying that to violate any of these four, right, bowing, burning, either as a korban or incense, sprinkling, zrika, or nisuch, libations. Some understand nisuch and zrika to be the same, and haktara and zibuch and zebach to be two different ones. All right, whatever it is, there are four. So even if you do one of these four, b'derech bizayon, whatever that means, because these four are b'derech kavod, but if you do one of these four, b'derech bizayon, if it's one of the four, then you're chayav misa, but you wouldn't be made a mumar. What difference does it make? He's chayav misa. No, maybe two people didn't see him, or he admits it, or whatever. He wouldn't be a mumar, okay? But what about those real bizayon ones? Avol derech bizayon nihisha asra Torah v'hi gzeres hakosuv d'chayav afilu misa mikol makom havei ka'over al aveira sheish paskilo mikol makom mutter lo havei kein hachanami. So I can't say it's mutter. I mean, if the guy wants to show how much he hates an avodah zarah, just ignore it, right? But here is the rub. If someone, let's say you have an avodah zarah, I mean, pa'or is the key example of this. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin says that the Jews always, they were always the rose to the top in every discipline. They were the best idolaters. They were whenever a Jew went to worship Peor, and someone would say, "Aren't you Jewish? What are you doing in here?" And he would, oh my goodness, he would learn the best ways to serve Peor. If you know the Gemara I'm talking about, you have to eat certain things before going to Peor, right? You know, eat up a lot of fiber and drink four cups of tea, and you know what's going to happen, right? So. That's just let it all out there and then just do it and then wipe yourself on the nose of the avodah zarah. So the guy did that, And he meant to worship it that way. And the priest was so happy. He was so thrilled. He said, "Wow, we never saw anyone worship or with this enthusiasm." So you have to be careful. Because if this is the case, then even if someone is worshiping Peor in order, Gufa, in order to be disparaging, in order to show how much I hate it, be careful, because that's the worship. That's the Avodah Zarah. He wants you to be as outrageous as possible. The Philistines had Avodah Zarahs like that too. The whole point was to get together with a large group of people and to be as absolutely outrageous as possible. I was asked once about 6 or 7 years ago to give a Dvar Torah in a group in Williamsburg. Have you heard about this group? I think it was written up in New York Times once. These are all people who were formerly in the Hasidic world. And every Thursday night, they have an hour-long serious Dvar Torah. They serve cauldrons of cholent and kugel. And then they have all night,
that's right,
extreme debauchery.
Oh, I guess I was for a bolderized version that they watch TV and movies.
No. There could be movies there, but not the kind we want to watch. Uh-huh. And they have extreme, and it's like Avodah Zarah, where anything goes. The more outrageous you can be, and they just let it all out. And we all don't care, but we do remember the Torah, which we liked. We do remember the foods that we liked. And this is their Thursday night activity. I don't know.
These people no longer, they don't like go back to the community.
It's part of the people. So I'm told, I've spoken to one who stopped going. Baruch Hashem. I thought it's a mitzvah to go and give them Torah and try to touch some of them and say, you know, you the Torah is a beautiful thing. Why not try to get back to it? You know, you're talking to 100 people. They're all very sophisticated. They're all very much out in the world now. They think that, you know, people lied to them earlier on in their lives and they were too harsh on them or whatever it is. And I thought it's a bit of a mitzvah to go in and talk to them. But I was convinced not to do it because it's like... I decided not. I chickened out.
What if you can't get out before the debauchery?
Yeah, all right. What if you get stuck there?
Stuck in the room.
Yeah, that could be bad. All right, so what if the debauchery starts before the shir is over? So
maybe some people just go for the cholent.
Yeah, that too. All right, and I'm told that cholent is unequivocally glot kosher. In other words, it's after the debauchery, then.
So before the debauchery is learning, and after the debauchery is glad kosher, kugel and cholent, but in between, okay.
I don't know, but anyway,
an insult sandwich.
But you see that some people have different cheshbonos of why they're doing things. Yodim hayu Yisrael shein mamish b'avodah zarah ela lahatirem gilei arayis b'far hesya. This month's commentary. Does anybody here get commentary? No, I'm surprised. The commentary is a good. No one here is familiar with it. At least familiar with it.
I've heard of it.
Okay, so this past month's commentary in the story at the end incensed me to such an extent I already wrote them a letter.
Commentary.
It was the last two pages was a Hollywood commentary or something like that, and it bemoans the fact that there's a lot less nudity in Hollywood movies these days because of the Me Too movement. So he's, and the whole thing was, you know, bemoaning this fact, where is Hollywood going? It's going to mess up. And then, so I started my letter by saying, Yodim hayu Yisrael she'in mamash b'avodah zarah. The Jews knew that avodah zarah was nonsense. So why did they rush to it? La'atirem gilei arayis b'far hesya. To keep the young people glued to their seats in the temples. They knew what was coming, right? They knew that they knew how to get keep the young people in the temples. They would serve them cakes. They would serve them. And it wasn't just candy for their eyes. They could participate. So I said, you know, it seems to me that that's what you're bemoaning, the fact that when the Hollywood script realizes it has nothing, how are they going to keep people glued to their seats? Gilear Ryos. All right. You know, if they see that at the beginning of the movie, it says, it gives you the warnings, what's in this movie? Oh, okay. I'll stay to the end because, you know, it tells you what's in there. Right. So it makes up for a lack of content. What the Avodah Zarahs knew that they had no content in their service, they made up for with Gilear Ryos. So that's what the Avodah Zarah was all that, and that explains how the Assyrians were wiped out. Their Avodah Zarahs were passing and spreading the worst diseases. Right, their soldiers were always always were serviced by locals. And they brought in their own women, thousands and thousands of them, to service their soldiers in a siege or whatever. And that could spread the disease that took out 185,000 of them as they were camped around Yerushalayim. Didn't have to be a miracle. The miracle is that it happened when it needed to happen. But how did Hashem do it? A nice Ebola maybe, I don't know, whatever it was. Okay. If I recall, at the beginning of COVID, there was a Wall Street Journal article that surmised what might have taken out the Assyrians in Melachim Beis.
Really?
Yeah. Look and see if you can look it up and Google it if something comes up. All right, guys. Fastest hour of my week. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you in Mitzvah Shem next week. I didn't get up to Mitzvah Chavtes. It's a short mitzvah, but it's I think what we're gonna have a good time discussing the Rambam and the Ramban's differences. There are some significant differences in how they reconcile the amount of mitzvahs that are in the second of the Dibros. Ramban only has one. The Rambam has like four. All right, we'll see about that, okay? All right. Okay, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a great day, everybody.
This guy claimed
that. Have a good week.
Good night.
Have a good week. Good
night, everyone.
Good night.
Kol tov.
Take care. Kol tov.
Bye.